It's January 8th, 2021. It's a whole new year. It's our 51st edition of the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. And we start out on a low note, unfortunately. And we have not rehearsed. We've barely spoken about anything, but I'm going to jump right into it. First of all, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm okay. I'm shaken, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel in as dispassionate a way as possible. The president must go. I truly believe that whether it's impeachment or we already have a sense that the vice president will not convene the cabinet and invoke the 25th Amendment. But even with now 12 days to go and a weekend and Congress really not in session formally, a statement has to be made. And this is what I believe. Number one, this was an egregious, terrible action on the part of the president. It was clear and unequivocal. It's hardly debatable. He encouraged, enabled, prodded the people who were gathered in D.C. to march on the Capitol. He helped to foster an atmosphere, not only that morning, but for 4 years, that led to this really horrific breach of the Capitol building. It was a riot, it was an insurrection, and he is as much to blame as anyone else. Secondly, he needs to be held accountable. He was impeached, and I understand that, but ultimately it was viewed as a partisan activity and can be spun in future years and decades as the Democrats wanted him out, the Republicans caught the Democrats in a lie, and the president survived. This time a statement really has to be made. Thirdly, even with 12 days, 11 days, 10 days to go, whatever the situation is, Congress needs to go on record with a powerful statement that this kind of behavior just simply cannot be tolerated in a democracy. We have world leaders, on one hand, allies who are expressing their deepest sorrow, and on the other hand, we have dictators who are saying, you are not what you purport to be. And this really is the culmination of 4 years of, I'm not going to say a very bad president, although I feel that way, but a very bad man who has been sitting in the presidency. And there you have it. That's about as clear and unequivocal as I can get. How do you see it?
I'm still trying to process all of this. I learned more and more that, you know, these events, these surreal events are occurring more and more over the last, I don't know, 4, maybe 8 years, we can say at least 4 years, just really shocking events. And, you know, as an opinion researcher and as a historian, I don't want to get swept up in the emotion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get swept up in the immediate narrative that is formed and to go along with it, but to step back, like you used the word, dispassionately, and really try to see what's going on. And I don't know that 48 hours after that we know exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. But I am moved by what you said, especially, you know, what you said, Congress going on record, and it's important to understand what you mean by that, because what really captured me by that terminology was there was unison, right? Or there would be unison, right? Once again, we would no longer be divided. We would come together, and we could heal, but I don't really see the healing taking place because after, and we, I mean, I don't know, was it a couple hundred people stormed? I mean, to me, if you look at the footage of the crowd before the event, I don't know, are there tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, but it by and large was peaceful. And so, you know, a very small sliver of the group get inside of the Capitol building. We still don't really know exactly what happened. We do know a woman was shot and murdered, killed.
We know a police officer was killed as well.
So a veteran and a police officer. And so let me just put that aside and go back exactly a year ago when we started this podcast. I'm going to get back to what I'm talking about. I remember the very first podcast that we filmed, and it was right over there in that room. And we've held to this tradition every week of doing this. But one of the things that I was talking about in that first episode was the Lebanese youth, mm-hmm. who, if we remember exactly a year ago, 2020 was set to be the year of protest. Well, it certainly turned out to be that way. But what was unique about what the Lebanese were saying, especially the millennials who were just in this paralyzed economy in this failed state called Lebanon, and they were marching on the streets and they were saying, everybody who's been in government needs to go. In other words, we don't trust you to serve us. If you have served government, we need new blood. We need people without government experience. That's how little faith we have. That sounds extreme. That sounds maybe a little bit too much. Probably not going to work in this country. But the lesson from that is, if there's going to be justice, if there's going to be injustice dealt with a fair hand justly, the accountability has to be across the board. I'm going to come back to what happened on Wednesday. If they're going to invoke the 25th Amendment and impeach Donald Trump, if they're going to charge him criminally, I don't know on what grounds, but if they go forward with that, there needs to be accountability. There needs to be accountability across the board. I'm invoking the emotion from the Lebanese youth who are protesting, and I would say, remember, what happened on Wednesday didn't start with the results of the 2020 election. It goes back to 2016. If we're going to talk about a threat to democracy, we can't just talk about Trump's accusations of an unfair election. We have to go back to 2016 and talk about Hillary Clinton's accusations of an unfair election, in which, in a different kind of way, an insurrection happened. It wasn't people storming the Capitol building, but it was media 24/7 spewing vitriol hatred. That was the beginning of undermining confidence in the electoral in the electoral system, 2016. Part two happened a couple months ago with the election of 2020. If Donald Trump is to be held accountable, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and his accomplices, Hillary Clinton and her accomplices, because you have to understand the Trump rejection of the 2020 election results, the seeds of that are in 2016. So that there's two parts to this movie of undermining democracy and undermining our election system and our confidence in it. And if we are going to heal and come together and avoid a civil war, then it needs to be fair across the board.
All right, let me parse each of these points, and I do disagree. The Electoral College as an issue has been an issue in four out of the last six elections. Only the two elections in which Barack Obama was involved, there was a clear, not only a clear majority, but a clear acceptance and cession by the losing candidate. Other than that, even though Al Gore backed down, John Kerry backed down, the Electoral College has come under fire, and that is something that needs to be contended with. At the same time, I'm cognizant of the fact that Donald Trump received 47% of the vote in this election, and that those, even in a way, are misleading. He clearly lost the popular vote, by 7 million votes. But if you look at the battleground states, and combine them all, the Wisconsins and the Michigans and so on, the difference between the two candidates was 0.1%. So I get that. By the same token, no fraud, no evidence of fraud, credible evidence has ever been presented. Courts on the federal level and on the state level have rejected every attempt to overturn the results of individual states in the election, including many judges and many whole courts that were appointed by Donald Trump. There is no argument here, and can be no argument here, as to who won the election. The argument here for me is that even though Gore and Kerry in the year 2000, 2004, conceded and backed down and let the process play out, Donald Trump has for 4 years enabled really some of the worst elements of our society to come to the forefront. We've always had a Klan. We've always had white supremacists and white nationalists. We've always had groups like the Proud Boys and so on. But what we've never had is them out in the open and part of the, quote, legitimate debate in this country. And then to have that all culminated on Wednesday with them in a position to dominate and manipulate a much larger crowd of people and to violate the safety and security of, whether you like it or not, the operating government of the United States of America is troubling. And Donald Trump helped create that atmosphere and promote that atmosphere and then encourage the activities that took place that really scared the bejesus out of a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. And but the difference is I didn't mention John Kerry and I didn't mention Al Gore. They did the right thing. They stepped down. They challenged it for, you know, a month or two. I mean, maybe it wasn't Kerry, but rather Barbara Boxer in Ohio. But by and large, they stepped down. But in 2016, Hillary didn't really concede. She may have verbally, but her and the higher levels of the DNC planted this false story that our election system was hacked by Russians with no evidence. To this day, there's no evidence. There's only silence. There's convenient silence. There's convenient forgetfulness of that event and what that did to undermine this. Again, the same thing happening now. The how our democracy has been assaulted, how our confidence in our election system has been assaulted, happened not because of Al Gore, not because of John Kerry, but because of Hillary Clinton, which then went to the main channels of the mainstream media and continuously pounded this message, convincing half the country that we were under attack, a cyber attack by the Russian, and that's the only reason why Donald Trump was in office. That's simply not true, and that can't be forgotten, and the same thing played out.
Does that legitimate the violence that took place?
It doesn't legitimate. Remember what I said in the beginning. If this nation is to heal, you can't pin the blame on one side. That will bring civil war. That will bring what we witnessed on Wednesday would just be a sliver of what would happen. The whole reason why people, I mean, let's not forget the main message of the protest. I don't think what we saw on Wednesday in terms of the peaceful protesters, that probably 99% of them who were peaceful, I don't think was motivated by racism and white supremacy. I think that was motivated by a lack of trust in government, which is, there was a lack of trust in government in 2016 when Trump came to power. So why is one side to be blamed and one side to be punished, but the other side gets a free card?
Words of the President of the United States, no matter who he or someday she may be, matter. I recall vividly in 1992, after Bill Clinton was elected, the interim period before he was inaugurated, held a news conference appointing some of the folks to his cabinet. And it was a completely different Bill Clinton as president-elect than he was as candidate. You saw him weighing every single word because his advisors had said to him, you can move the markets, you can scare allies, you can cause people to mobilize. Words of a president of the United States matter. Fast forward 28 years and look at what Donald Trump said, not only on Wednesday, but contextually over the past 4 years. Now, there are some who are going to say, well, he promised to clean the swamp. He promised to be a different kind of president. But the fact is, the different kind of president he turned out to be made our allies very nervous, fostered an irreparable, at this point in time anyway, irreparable breach of between two warring camps in the United States. In many ways, he created the context for the violence that took place and helped to create the violence that day. And that's essentially, I think, what we're talking about.
But you don't see that that was largely instigated in 2016? In other words, let me ask. Day after day after day, millions of people, half the country, were convinced that we had an unlawfully elected president, right? In 2016.
Yeah.
And journalists, talking heads, pundits, newspapers, websites, television channels, even Hillary Clinton herself carried this. We know it's a lie because there's no evidence. And that's really when all of this fell apart and came undone. And then it continued throughout the Trump presidency, and it's culminated now. So how can it all begin with Trump? And how can those who peddled that lie really not, you know, be held accountable for that? I mean, you don't see how the two play together?
Look, and I don't mean that look like father to son. Look, young man. I mean, consider. We have had breaches and splits throughout our history. Sometimes they're in the ascendancy, sometimes they dissipate.
But what about the lie?
It's bigger than this. You go really to Donald Trump's inauguration. Before there was any attempt to impeach him, he declared war. He called for a revolution. He stirred up elements in our society that were not the best elements in our society. I never, and you know this for a fact because we've talked about it, I never thought he should be impeached. I always thought that that was wrong politically. I also thought that it was wrong in terms of the functioning of the United States of America. I also thought that it was wrong because it would turn Donald Trump into a victim and help him consolidate his base, which he did. He got 47% of the vote. Given that, none of that mitigates what he did on Wednesday. What he did on Wednesday was wrong. He beat impeachment.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, if we go down, and I've already said this, you know, if we go down this path of blaming one side for doing, I'm not going to say exactly, but almost similarly what was done in 2016, then there is no chance for healing of this country. If Pelosi and Schumer think that the best way to go forward is to invoke the 25th Amendment and hold only Donald Trump accountable, all the while ignoring the damage that they did after 2016, then I just don't think that there's really any hope for this country to heal its wounds. There, if there's going to be accountability, if there's going to be justice, it has to be across the board. And we cannot forget the crime of not only 2020, of what Donald Trump did, but of 2016 and what Hillary Clinton did. For some reason, we're going to say one gets a pass because we don't like him, and because it's the more immediate threat, but conveniently forget those 4 years of the resistance, of the lies, scaring half the country into thinking we were hacked when we weren't.
I'm going to let you have the last word this week. Look out next week.
Okay.
My turn for the last word.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that was we
lively.
Promised you a show. Okay. We'll see what happens next week. Take care.